Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
One day I'll remember. Remember everything that happened. The good, the bad. Those who survived, and those that did not.
Home is behind the world ahead.
A little bit of the trailer from the movie The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies. Now, the trailer doesn't necessarily betray the nature of the movie. From those who've seen it, I've heard there's a lot of battle. It's a battle movie. It's a battle involving five armies. It's the way the last 60 pages or so of J.R.R. Tolkien's Hobbit book that wasn't that long to begin with, and Peter Jackson has managed to turn it into three movies, the last of which is almost entirely a battle. But is there a theme that Christians would recognize that can be retrieved from the clashing of swords and the bloodshed in the latest Hobbit movie, The Battle of the Five Armies? We're going to be reviewing that movie with Pastor Ted Giese on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 6th. Thanks for tuning us in. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. A little bit later, we're going to turn our conversation to the question of whether or not Christians should, quote-unquote, engage the culture. Now, there's a lot of problems there when we hear about the church engaging the culture. We need to understand what the church is, or we'll get that wrong. We need to understand what it means to engage the culture, or we'll get that wrong. And we certainly need to understand what we're saying when we use the word culture. And I think quite often we don't. Aaron Wolf will join us a little bit after, in about a half hour here, to answer that question. He's written a recent column titled, Engage the Culture? Don't. Then Dr. Craig Evans will join us. We'll talk to about something you probably saw in the news over the weekend, or at least leading up into the beginning of this week, the reported discovery of the site of Jesus' trial in Jerusalem. Now, the site has been speculated about for a long time, but further archaeological investigation has led archaeologists to believe that they have found the palace of Herod the Great in Jerusalem, and that finding the palace of Herod, we found the place where Jesus' trial, at least before Herod and perhaps even before Pilate, took place. That's a lineup for today's Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or you can use our Issues Etc. comment line, especially if you're one of our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Is there a, I take it, I haven't seen it, but those who have seen it said it's a lot of battle. I mean, it's a battle movie, and there's a lot of fighting and a lot of sword play and a lot of bloodshed. Is there a theme that Christians would recognize that can be retrieved from all the clashing of the swords?
I think there is. I think the biggest theme in the movie that can be retrieved would be about contentment and discontentment. And particularly a good way to dig into that would be through the lens of the ninth commandment for the Christian viewer. So as way of synopsis, to get to this point, this is like the third part of a three-part telling of the Hobbit book. In the very first beginning of the whole story, there are these dwarves. They get kicked out of their mountain because of a dragon who's sitting on all of their treasure, and they want to get back to their mountain, their homeland, and this fellow Thorin Oakenshield is the heir to that kingdom. So essentially, it is his house, this mountain. By the time you get to the beginning of the third movie, they've gotten the mountain back, but it's full of gold and other things that people want. So they're all coveting that mountain and its contents to varying degrees. But it really belongs to this Thorin Oakenshield, this dwarf character. So that's where you kind of get into maybe the theme of coveting and discontentment and contentment in this film, particularly through the lens of the Ninth Commandment.
Now, a couple notes on this. First of all, the big question that always gets asked when you're dealing with modern classics like The Hobbit, so much beloved, is, and he's got a pretty good track record so far with the Lord of the Rings trilogy, with the first two Hobbit movies, more or less. What about the last one? Does he stick to the canon, so to speak?
Yes and no. This last movie basically covers 60 pages of the book. It's the last 60 pages of the book. So most of what you get in the book is up on the screen, but there's a lot of in-between stuff that's being added in by him. For instance, here's an example. The people who, like the central characters who die in the book are the ones that die in the movie. And he doesn't go out of his way to kill other characters who he could knock off, but he doesn't. Because in the book, they don't die off. There's just no mention of what happens to them. So in some ways, he is being careful to stick to what's in the book, but in other ways, he's not. This is really his own adaptation of this, and he's kind of telling it in view of all six movies kind of going together. There is this kind of weird disconnect that happens, though. It's almost like he's making the same movie on parallel tracks. And the reason I say this is because if anyone's out there and has been a fan of these movies, they'll know that there's extended versions of all of these films. And they kind of almost run on parallel tracks with each other. Like there's just sometimes as much as a half hour, 45 minutes more additional footage that shows up. So when you're watching this particular one, the sixth of these movies that he's made, and if you've watched all the extended versions of all of those movies, when you sit down to watch this one in the theater, you're going to feel like you're only seeing 80% of a movie, and you're not going to be sure what the other 20% is just yet, because that's not going to come out until November of this year for you to take a look at. So it's kind of a hard question to answer as to how closely he's sticking to things, but clearly he's ad-libbing and adding in a whole pile of stuff, because one of the narrative devices in the book itself is that Bilbo gets knocked out, and for almost all of the big battle he's unconscious, and then at the end he gets kind of filled in brief what's going on. And then elsewhere in Tolkien's writings, it's really set up to be, the Hobbit book is set up to be just Bilbo's interpretation of events. So even there, it gives you a lot of, I guess, artistic license area. But not everybody's going to like his artistic license.
You kind of touched on it a little bit, but some of the criticism, Peter Jackson's treatment of The Hobbit in particular, is he's kind of overindulging. He can make three gigantic movies out of one small book, and so he's going to make three gigantic movies, even if it doesn't warrant three movies. What are your thoughts there after having seen all three?
Well, you know, like most people, I'm probably in this weird place where I'm, you know, of two minds about it. Like, the nine-year-old me goes, awesome, this is great. Like, this is the kind of movie that I would have loved, like, as a nine-year-old. Like, that, like, who could complain that you're getting to spend all of this additional time in this, fun world that Tolkien put together? You know, even if it's through the lens, the eye of Peter Jackson, On the other hand, though, you know, if you're going to take all that extra time and do it, like, you know, maybe, you know, draw some more of that drama out of the text in a way that, you know, my, you know, near 40-year-old self is going to enjoy too, right? So it is kind of, you know, I like it, and at the same time, I'm, you know, find it challenging. And then again, in the middle of all that, I just enjoy watching movies and thinking about them and, you know, analyzing what I'm looking at anyway. So there's enjoyment at that point as well.
I want to come back to the theme that you mentioned, and it does focus, in, at least in the book, around Thorin Oakenshield, this leader of the dwarves who have regained not just their personal wealth, in his case, but their kingdom in the course of the last 60 pages of The Hobbit book. But the way Tolkien depicts it in the book is, I guess the best word for it is that Oakenshield, who's otherwise a hero in the entire story, is not heroic in the end, really. He's kind of consumed by his avarice and his greed. How do they do it in the film?
It's interesting. These three films, what they do is, like, when you sit down and read the Hobbit book, like, he's not as well-defined a character as you get in these movies. Thorin Oakenshield kind of comes off as a bit of a grouch and a grump right off the beginning of the book. And in the movie, he is really modeled to be more of a hero, and he's kind of expanded in a lot of ways to make that really interesting. In this particular movie, sadly, like, his last act of his story is that he succumbs to the same sort of illness, this dragon sickness, this very extreme coveting that his own grandfather fell to at the very, you know, like, this is the way that it comes across in the movie. And it all kind of happens a little too fast at the end, like with him and his dragon sickness. You kind of feel as though you'd like to have that be a little more gradual, or at least to make, you know, more narrative sense. It just seems to be like a light switch that flips on suddenly, and that's not maybe the very best. But he, as a character, he does get kind of worse in this last movie. He's not the heroic self that he is, but he does have a redemption moment. Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I think that the really curious and interesting thing, and especially looking at it again through the lens of the Ninth Commandment, which is, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, is what do you do, like, the question would come out is, like, what do you do when your neighbor's a jerk? Like, when it doesn't seem like he deserves the thing that he has in the first place. And the Christian answer to that is that you're still supposed to help him keep his house and his inheritance and help him maintain it and serve him in keeping it. So that's kind of an interesting thing in this particular movie, I think.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We'll take a break, and we will come to that redemption moment that he says in his review doesn't quite come off as strong in the film as it did in the book. We're reviewing the movie The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's dressing up to be there too. Like we always do. Saturday night and the moon is. Who cares what picture you see? You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Will you have peace or war?
All shall fade.
I will have war.
Will you follow me? One last time.
We're reviewing the movie The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 6th. Ted, before the break, you were talking about this moment of redemption, and you write in your review that there is this moment that many of the fans of the book will be looking forward to, and it's started in the second part of The Hobbit movies where Bilbo finds this jewel, the one thing that Thorin Oakenshield, the leader of the dwarves, really wants out of that mountain full of all the treasures of the dwarves, is that one jewel. Pick up the story there.
Yeah, within Peter Jackson's version of The Hobbit here, like, that gem is super important because he makes it like the gem that all of the seven different groups of dwarves have all sworn to acknowledge as the gem that means you're ruling all of the dwarves. So there's a lot at stake at having that stone. So what you have is Bilbo, he gets the stone in the last movie. He's kind of got it hidden away. He hasn't given it to Thorin Oakenshield because he finds that Thorin is getting kind of having trouble with his dragon sickness, and he's worried about what would happen if he received it. So he ends up giving it to the leaders of a couple of these other armies as a way of trying to curry a peace between them all and save people from being killed. So on the one hand, Thorin looks at it and sees a betrayal, but really Bilbo is trying to save Thorin's life and the life of all the people that he started this adventure with. So in the very end, for Thorin's character, there's a, this kind of spoil it if you don't know, but there's a deathbed kind of moment between Thorin and Bilbo where Thorin says something very important, I think, for this whole theme of coveting and contentment and discontentment at the end, and it shows that he is repentant of this dragon sickness and the sin of coveting as well. So he, in the movie, how does he say it? But basically he says that if people valued home and merriment more than hoarded gold, the world would be a better place. This is kind of what he's saying. In the book, it's a little better than that, And particularly because Tolkien was a Christian guy, particularly better because the way he says it in the book is, if more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. But sad or merry, I must leave it now. Farewell. This is Thorin's last words. He kind of starts the whole thing off by talking about it. There's an eschatological kind of part of it in the book. He says, I go now to the halls of waiting to sit beside my fathers until the world is renewed. Since I leave now all gold and silver and go where it is of little worth, I wish to part in friendship from you, and I would take back my words and deeds at the gate. So it's got a little more impact in the book for a Christian reader than it does in the movie for a Christian viewer, except that it really still in the movie does draw that very strong distinction that, you know, the money and all of that stuff, the big hoard of gold, is not what is best. What's best is a simple life and being able to defend other people's, property.
So now that the film is finished and made, and as you said, there's going to be this supplementary material that always comes out here that would kind of fill out the movie that Jackson wanted everyone to see but couldn't sell because they would be too long. What do you suggest? Someone wants to see this. Should you suggest the films as their first exposure to Tolkien's work?
Well, it might be faster to read the book. I don't know. Like these are long movies. I think that what he's trying to do in these movies is kind of what Tolkien himself wanted to do. Like, Tolkien retconned it. He had originally written that Hobbit book, and then he wrote The Lord of the Rings, and he went back and he changed things in The Hobbit so that it would fit with The Lord of the Rings. He took that ring that Bilbo found and made it into the one ring that's in The Lord of the Rings. He himself went back and did that and made those changes. So here Jackson has sat down, he's made all of these movies, and he's trying to make it all fit together. Now, how successful he is in doing this, we're going to see, in November. I think that he's caused some problems for himself in some of the other movies. I haven't sat down recently and watched all of them, but it's really hard to keep it all straight. There's just a gigantic cast of characters and so many plot threads going on in here that, it's very likely that, he's going to have made some mistakes. I think particularly when you see the Fellowship of the Rings again, when you see that movie, I think you're going to see that there's going to be conversations between this character Gandalf and this character Saruman, which might not sound right now after things that happened in this last movie, because they should actually all know about certain things, and it's going to sound like a weird conversation. So when you just sit down and watch them all the way through, I don't know. We'll see how it all kind of plays out here in the end. But in the meantime, it's been an interesting ride. But this is kind of the end. I don't think there's going to be any more of these movies. It may get rebooted at a different time with different director and another cast of actors and all that kind of stuff.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Be sure to read Pastor Giese's review of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject, actually to the question of whether or not Christians should, quote-unquote, engage the culture. We're often being told that if we love the lost, if we care for the lost, we're going to get in there, into the culture, study it, understand it, interpret it, engage it. We'll see what Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine thinks about all of that right after this.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star, shine with her eyes right across.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Lord God, thou hast made me a pastor and teacher in the church. Pastors know they aren't perfect, but they are to be cherished and supported. Learn more at acelc.net and register for our next conference on the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastors aren't perfect, but they are a gift from God. Learn how you can support them at acelc.net. I will certainly bring it all to destruction.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We now have 7 Spanish language transcripts of Issues, Etc. that you can download for free.
Ahora tenemos 7 transcripciones en español de Issues, Etc. que se puede descargar gratis.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
Estas transcripciones cubren las 6 partes principales del Catecismo Pequeño de Lutero e incluyen una enseñanza que se llama ¿Por qué pasan las malas cosas?
Guests include Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, and Carl Fickenscher.
Los invitados incluyen Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, y Carl Fickenscher.
You can download and print these Spanish transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Publications.
Se puede descargar e imprimir estas transcripciones en español gratis. Solo vaya a issuesetc.org y haz clic en publicaciones.